Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
And this ball in the air, deep right center field.
Two-run home run, Trevor Story. Way back, Myers, he'll watch it go out. Chuck Nasty.
Two-run home run, David Dahl.
And Nolan drives this high in the air, deep left field. Take a good look, you won't see it for long.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR20 so you'll save 20% off your entire purchase of the CBD infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. And on this episode, we conclude our conversation with beat writer Patrick Lyons and DNVR Avalanche guru AJ Haefeli debating the current state of the Colorado Rockies. We're going to jump right back into it here. We were getting into kind of the definitions of what it means to have Colorado Rockies culture. But before we can do that, I'll tell you some people that have some culture. That's Hassel Cattle Company. They know what's going on out there. They know how to treat their beef. They know how to get you the best beef in the world. So you got to check them out at HasselCattleCompany.com. That's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com. No hormones, no antibiotics, free range beef that isn't going to kill your wallet. The stuff is really, really good for you. The Wagyu beef out there just setting a whole new trend. They've completely changed the way I'm buying beef. It could end up being the absolute same for you. So check them out. Give them a chance. Use promo code DNVR10. You'll save 10% off. And if you order over $200, you get free shipping. So really nothing to lose. Without further ado, let's get right back into this debate.
That's what I'm just saying. It's my feeling.
Yeah. When you say, like, who are they? They either don't know or they're a 94-win team. They kind of think that they're a 94-win team.
No, that's, you can't quote the owner shooting off at the mouth and saying ridiculous nonsense. That's not how the rest of the people, that's, I wholeheartedly disagree. I think the Colorado Rockies do know who they are, and I can cite several things that they've done, particularly in this offseason with identifying particularly the bullpen issues and the pitching. Now, they strayed from who they were. They knew who they were starting in 2016. Moving through that next stretch, they built as a pitching first, defense first, run prevention first team that just held on to the superstar position players that they have. Every move that they made was built around that starting rotation and that bullpen. And then they went to the NLDS and got approximately 4 base hits. And they got embarrassed. And everybody said the Colorado Rockies, and the people who've been complaining about the second best team, it's kind of, I hope it's kind of funny. The people have been complaining about the second best team in Colorado Rockies history all year. There were the three biggest stories when the Colorado Rockies won 91 games in 2018. One, Nolan's never going to sign a big long contract here. Oops. Two, John Gray is a mental case. Oops. And three, the offense is absolutely terrible. Okay, that one turned out to be true. But the offense was bad. They won 91 games anyway. Who gives a shit? But then they couldn't hit. So they went, well, DJ LeMahieu is an empty bat. We don't have to prioritize him. Let's go get the best hitter in the history of the modern history of the postseason. Go look at his numbers. That's why they got Daniel Murphy, because he's a postseason hitter. And you can't use him if you don't get there. They prioritize, and in that move, they screwed themselves. They prioritized offense over run prevention for the first time in Jeff Breidich's tenure. And say what you will about the super bullpen that didn't work, at least he had the right priorities. They just didn't work out properly. Daniel Murphy and Ian Desmond were legitimate disasters because they spent resources in places that were against your identity. But since that move, since the Desmond disaster, they've gone back to, okay, let's just bring in pitchers. Everything this offseason has been about stacking up on the arms. And so, again, like, I'm of the estimation that...
Are they still that 2018 team? Or are they the team that has been under 500 the last two seasons now?
They're both. They are both of those teams. As I have said many, many times, they are both of them.
Only window of relevance. Window of relevance, right? I'm not saying they have...
They are closer to who they are in 2018 than to who they were in 19 and 20.
But I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, a whipping post. I think maybe they're closer to one or the other, but they're kind of in the middle. They just have relevance.
Well, and actually, Daniel comes in with an interesting question here with, is this a make or break season for Bud Black? Because that's the other thing. There are two things that I don't think people are accounting for enough right now with where the Colorado Rockies currently are. One is that in this season that I know people are saying, we're not really overrating this 60-game season. Everybody is. It's hard not to do it, and they looked bad, and it's hard not to go, God, they looked awful. I guess they're just awful now. But one, talking about their division, they played all of their games against the Dodgers and the Padres. Zero games against the Reds and the Marlins and the whomevers. Next year, they're actually going to get to play the Central and the East a little bit. That should help out a little bit. But the biggest thing for me, I do. But the other thing, this playing the Central. Yeah, you're right. The East has got, especially now that the Mets
aren't. Central sucks. Yeah.
We'll see. The Central.
The Central. See, if they were in the Central right now, I would be like, go.
For sure. Right. And,
but with the Dodgers and Padres, it's like.
And you don't forget, in the East, there's Atlanta and the Mets. So
right.
Two wild cards.
We'll see.
Be already out the window.
And again, the Mets have done this before, and we'll see if the Padres stay doing. Again, I think there's a lot of people saying, we're living in the new reality. The Mets are great, the Padres are great, and the Rockies are crap. And it's like, whew, all of those things have only been true for about 100 games. So let's you know, maybe pump the brakes. But the biggest thing for me actually is this, that I do think that whether people believe it or accept it or not, there's way more pressure on, not just Bud Black, but if Nolan Arenado starts out the season on the Colorado Rockies roster, and I believe that he will, he's basically playing – in a contract year, you've got the most motivated version of all of these guys. Same thing with Trevor Story. He's literally playing in a contract year unless he signs an extension. A lot of these other guys. So for me, it's like, no, I believe that for these next two or three years, until these pitchers are free agents and haven't been extended, you know, I worry about John Gray walking like anybody else. Oh, not like anybody. I should say there are people here in the country. A lot of people, not big believers in John Gray, but like people who believe in ERA plus.
We can agree on that.
But is Bud Black on the hot seat? That's the question. So
maybe
Don Baylor, right? So Don Baylor, after that 95 season, he got three, four years,
right?
And then he was done. And so Bud Black, okay, whatever. Say what you will about 2020, but this would be the third straight losing season. Clint Hurdle got a year and change after going to the World Series,
right?
So, I mean, and again. Let's say there something goes down and the GM goes. Well, now the GM's got to bring in their own guy. So that's another potential that you could see. So I think, right. And again, I think Bud Black has done a very good job with his team. Still the only guy to go to back-to-back postseasons. But is he on the hot seat? Yeah,
maybe. And I'll also say I don't think there's a 0% chance the GM gets fired and replaced also. And then all of a sudden, if the GM does get fired and replaced in a month or two, are we saying, well – shoot, it's a good thing they didn't trade all those guys that we wanted them, because maybe now this new guy can build in the way that while no one has faith in him, and I get why, I don't have faith in Jeff Breidich. I do have faith in that group of players that I just named, and I don't think you need all of them to be good, because with this starting rotation, I think if Tapia's league average and Ryan McMahon and Brendan Rodgers are pretty good and your bullpen is good, this team's right back in the hunt for a wild card spot. If this doesn't make, I understand that reaction. I get that reaction.
If you have a good rotation and you have a good bullpen, you're going to be a good baseball team.
Like, but that's the thing. They do have a good rotation. And I think they're on the verge of having a good bullpen. The fact that I wish people would just talk about that part of the team more, because everyone wants to make it about the lineup. And it's just like, dude, I get their. After the first three guys, they're not that exciting, but you get Scott Oberg back on this team, a healthy Carlos Estevez, and then two or three of the six guys they've just brought into the organization end up being fine, then you've got a good starting rotation, a good bullpen. That puts you in the mix.
I mean, really all what need, what man. Is that, what you're painting is essentially, to a degree, what the Los Angeles Angels have been, is a team that they're in second or third place in their division every year, and they have the 18th pick in the draft, and it doesn't really go anywhere. And I think that's the worry. Is like, yeah, if they're content, everything you just said isn't far-fetched to say, okay, all these things go right, and not perfect, but go right, and maybe they're in the hunt, whatever that might mean. But if they only win like 84 games, that will make for a good season, but you've ultimately missed the mark. And again, you're not benefiting in the draft the next year, and there's going to be some fun memories.
Fine with it.
Yeah, and that's fine, and I would understand that, because you want, again, there's going to be that relevance there. I think this team is at least good enough to do what they typically do, which is play well in April through May to give you some hope, and maybe that's all you need. Maybe that's all you need is that hope. You get somebody at the trade deadline. I think that's perpetually what Colorado has been, is that team where, hey, hopefully if they just catch fire, we can add a couple pieces at the deadline and maybe do something. And, you know, after 28 seasons, I think there's a lot of fans that are a little bit fed up with that strategy and say, let's do something different. But regardless, like, I don't know that the owner and front office have solutions. I've mentioned about it again. You could tank, right? And you can do that,
right?
And like, you can rebuild and try to have that
bad for the next 5 years. But
yeah,
yeah, you're right. Fans. That is an option on the table.
Do you think Cubs fans would?
I've been meaning to ask you this question. Can I flip this on you? Because I thought about this the other day. I wanted to ask you this. I want to ask you both this because this is great. This is so fantastic, because we weren't even planning on doing this today. The Chicago Cubs won that World Series in Game 7 in extra innings, and they got their parade. Flip it. One play. Changed nothing about baseball history, but one play. Give Cleveland a walk-off an inning earlier. That's all. Everything else in baseball history stays the same. The Cubs do their teardown. Their tear. No, no, no. I know you're saying
it doesn't actually exist.
But I'm not even changing that much. But I'm saying,
I'm sorry,
just the one, just the World Series, man. That's all it is. To put one play. Yeah. But of course it's something.
But to
act like because the Cubs won the World Series, it validates their teardown and rebuild, is to say that because on that flip of a coin in extras in a Game 7, if it went Cleveland's way, would it still have been worth it?
For Cleveland?
But answer the question. For Chicago fans, to go through 4 years of purposefully being terrible, then go through a couple of years of being good, one of them you get to the World Series, but you lose in Game 7, and then you steadily get worse, and now you're back in the stage where you have to tear down and rebuild all over again, and you never got your parade.
And so,
was it worth it for Chicago fans in that scenario?
I'll go first and say you can't change all the details in this. Fine, they don't win the World Series. But here's why it was worth it. They've gone to the postseason 5 of the last 6 years. That's beyond relevant. That's a win.
Okay, if you say that's worth it, then I agree. I think that's fair. I'm just asking if it takes the World Series.
Hey, we're still on the cusp. Look at Kansas City. They lost in 14. They won in 15. What do you know? Again, they still had those guys, and you look at the San Francisco Giants. They weren't very good.
Kansas City didn't tank on purpose to build that team, though. Kansas City built that team internally because they were bad and they drafted. That was a much more of a rocky situation.
World Series and getting to kind of the
I'm talking about purposefully tanking, yeah. And what makes purposefully tanking worth it in the end.
A rebuild is a rebuild. However the sausage gets made, when you're building from the ground up, it doesn't really matter what your intentions are. It's you could say the Kansas City Royals weren't purposely tanking because they weren't a team with the resources to go out and spend a ton of money. That's their life. That's their existence.
What's that?
So that's, I guess that's really the difference.
I don't want your life.
It's that's who they are, man. That's their identity. That's what they have to do. But it's not just them. You look at
most of the teams in baseball.
How many times have we seen the Oakland A's? They just for some reason, they can just find these guys. They find a Marcus Semien out of nowhere. They find the Chapman. You know, they build a really good team with the resources that they have. And you roll the dice when you get to the postseason. We all know that that's true in baseball.
That's why my argument this whole time has been just grab a wild card spot. That's what I'm saying. Now you're making my argument. Now you're making my argument. Just get to the dance, baby.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are. That's exactly the same.
Seasons.
I agree. I don't think that tanking is the only way to do that. That's all. But I agree. Get to the dance. It should be your goal every single season to get to the dance. Absolutely. I just don't think that tanking is the only way to do it. And I think this team can get to the dance each of the next 3 years with the rotation they've got. And you got to play for that. If you can get to the dance, you got to play for that. And this part team of the can.
Part of the math of getting to the dance is recognizing where you are, though. Recognizing the competition around you. Recognizing the realistic odds.
Where they are or where you think they are.
Well, we're going to find out.
Where they are, man. The Dodgers are firmly at the top. Are firmly at the top. All right, that's one spot where the Rockies cannot be right now.
Not getting
boom,
that
take
one.
Take one out. Okay, yep. And then you have no one. I won't say you. I'll say I. I have no idea what the Diamondbacks are doing or what they're going to be or where they're going. I have no idea. The Giants, who knows with those guys? Who
they're
knows?
Bad. They're legit bad right now.
I don't expect them to be very good, so I'm not all that concerned. But, you know, weird stuff happens to that organization. The Padres, I think, are a legitimate problem. And the thing that I think is different about this offseason from when they've won many offseasons in the past is that a lot of their offseasons in the past, we knew that those things weren't going to work out. We knew smart baseball people knew that the things that they were doing.
His words, not mine. His words, not mine.
I'm not on a Rockies pod every day. I have no consequences.
reporters.
Smart baseball people knew that what the Padres were doing was foolhardy.
Is different.
This is absolutely different. And it is. We know that. And that's the problem. That's what's scary about them is that this is real. Okay. So now there's one spot gone. There's two spots gone. Okay?
But you know what? The best the Padres can do, because they're not going to win the division either, is also play for one game.
And that's all good and well. They want to get dirty and they want to tussle in the mud that the Dodgers are in. Get nasty, dog. Have at it. Those two teams can go. But between the NL East and the NL West at the very tip top of those divisions, you are talking about this is a problem. If they were in the Central right now, I am fully with you, man. Gung ho, all whatever ahead.
God, that's a terrible
problem for baseball.
It's a huge problem for baseball.
The conversation and how you purport things to be, a little Drew, because the Padres have the same issues as the Rockies. Oh, you're in the same division as the Dodgers. They're going to win it. They're always going to win it. The Padres think they can win it, and
they're not. No, they can't. No, they're not.
Okay, so AJ, you just said that if Team Canada was going to win the World Junior Championship, that you'd have to sing "O Canada" with Rudo.
What do I got to do if the Padres win the division? Give it to me.
3 years? It should be the
no
next.
This year. No. Okay, give me fine. This year. It, give it, me this so it year.
Be all three, but we'll just do this year. That's fine.
Now, what? I mean, give it to me. Right comments. In. Anybody go got ahead. A anybody? Because I'll do what it takes, man. The Padres are not going to win the division in 2021, so they're playing for the same one game play-in as everybody else.
Boy, this is baseball's big problem right here.
Yes, it is. Isn't this garbage? We should be playing divisionless and seeded baseball. Just seeded. Yeah, the postseason thing is garbage. It's garbage.
You're from the other sports that do it a little bit.
Here we go. Chris coming in saying, I got to wear a Padres hat. There we go. Should I have to wear a...
Come on.
That's pretty weak. Oh, buy a DJ Dodgers jersey. He has to actually sign with the Dodgers for that to happen.
Eating ghost pepper is a good one.
Okay.
You go hit him in the wallet with the DJ Dodgers jersey, which again...
Yeah, I'm not sure I can afford that.
DJ jersey.
I got one word. Eyebrows.
Okay. But what do you do when they're a wild card team?
Well, hold on. I'm not the one that said any of those things.
Dodgers
are just guaranteed to be the NL West champions forever. What I'm saying is that don't be in the truth. You can plan for a window of contention, as AJ is saying, so that you can actually battle this team, not for an entire decade, but for a chance to do it over the course of 3 years. And this is precisely what the Padres have done.
I'm just saying that I have spoken with the least amount of confidence about what's going to happen 3, 4, 5 years from now of anybody on this podcast. So I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to win the division next year. Of course, they're going to be good. They're going to be the second best team in the National League West. They might even be, they're probably the second best team in the National League. But in my estimation, by a comfortable margin, they are behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. So no, I've got the Dodgers very comfortably winning the division. I don't think the Padres are within 5 games of them. I'd be more inclined to say that they'll finish 8 or more games behind the Dodgers. I also think people are just getting way overexcited about the Padres right now, and we still need to see it for more than a 60-game sample size. But we'll find out. Anybody else want to throw a bet up there against it too? Because like I said, like, I'm willing to put my eyebrows where my mouth is. Well, that's not quite right. That's gross. But no, man, like I'm not the one out here saying this is definitely what's going to happen 3, 4 years from now. I'm saying let's let some things play out. Let's find out. Because I'm not punting on the notion that the Padres are just too much of a powerhouse to overcome, that the Rockies shouldn't play for a 1-game play-in because then they'll have to play probably the Padres in that one game. Let's let some shit play out first. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, but you can't manage an organization like that.
No, but I don't have to make those decisions now. If I'm running the Colorado Rockies, that's not
in charge that does.
But and we're
that's
right.
Our problem, right?
But like, no, not really, because again, I disagree, because you can make those decisions when push comes to shove. You don't have to make them with a certitude about other people being superior than you are right this second when you haven't even gone out there and played the games.
But there are consequences to not making decisions, the same as there are consequences
starting
to
when?
Making them.
But starting when?
So starting at the end of the season, halfway through the season.
Yeah,
you can do the trade deadline and you have to start playing guys.
And I've said many, many times, if they come out in 2021 and they're awful in the first half, then they got to make big moves and they got to move these guys. That's a different conversation, though. I'm talking about going into this year now. You got to try to get play. You got to play for the dance. You got to play to get into the dance.
I don't even disagree with you on that. I mean, that's just looking at them.
Right. I'm just saying in general, I'll play to the
right
world.
Now.
Yeah.
But I would say that's even inaccurate too, because, you know, you go back to 2019, they could have maybe realized, wow, you know what? We got the best that we could have. Again, theoretically, we got the best we could have out of this roster. We went to back-to-back postseasons. You know what? Let's go ahead and see what we can get for Trevor Story. And so now you have No, all I'm saying is
they thought we're going to get much better out of this. Right. But that's where I think people get
consequences. It's not just you go, hey, they can play until, you know, July and then make a deal. Well, the return you get on Trevor Story, if you will, is going to be much less than it would have been, let's say, in 2019 or 2020. And that's part of the consequences. That's all I'm saying.
I will say though that where I'm
what
not
do you
sure.
Mean you don't buy it? You're talking about 3 years of control versus 1 year.
Because you're not going to trade Trevor Story after 2 consecutive postseasons when your team is yet to fulfill their total potential and you're sitting at over 500 going into the trade deadline month. You're not trading the best player on your team.
Cleveland just did that with Francisco Lindor. You don't think Cleveland has a better understanding of what's going on than the Colorado Rockies?
I don't know.
Tampa Bay just went to the World Series and they traded their ace and Blake Snell. You don't
think
they've got a better
really
idea of what's
gross.
Going on in the Colorado Rockies?
Whether or not it's gross or it's good or bad for the game is irrelevant in terms of trying to compete.
We'll see.
That's what matters, man.
We'll see over these next couple of years if these teams that keep treating their players this way manage to continue to compete. Because we'll see.
We're like a decade into this with the Rays, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we're at a push comes to shove moment with the CBA right now. If you guys say so, we'll see. We'll see. That's why they play the games. They don't. We don't do it on paper. We don't do it based on what the experts say.
Yeah, I mean,
we got to play the games out there on the field.
Aren't we 20 years into the A's doing this?
Yeah. Doing what? Getting into the first round occasionally and losing every single time. What are we?
The Rockies
what
would be very lucky to do that. They've only been in the playoffs 4 times.
Would you take that?
No, not really. Not for having nobody on the team that's ever consistent. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
So you wouldn't take consistent success over two decades, like 12 playoff appearances?
It all depends on how you define success. In my estimation, the Oakland A's have not been consistently successful. But that's a completely different conversation.
Hold on. So go answer your own question then. Would it have been worth it for the Cubs then?
Yeah.
And if you change it and they lose
it's still worth it for them. No, in my estimation,
so why is it worth it for the Cubs and not the A's for two decades?
In my estimation, if you're of that mindset, then it's probably worth it for that amount of success. I am against tanking. There's no amount of success that makes it okay in my book. So I was just asking you guys because it's your philosophy. I was legitimately curious. Like, and for the people out there, it's a fair question. I think everyone should ask one. People have asked me on Twitter. What amount of success legitimizes or justifies tanking? And some people would say any amount of success. If you tank for 3 years and that means that you're better than you would have been for the next five, then it was worth it. And I say, okay, but that fair has, enough.
That has nothing.
Some to people would say you got to win a World Series.
Oakland doesn't tank.
Cleveland's
not tanking. Cleveland is rebuilding in a creative way. Same thing with Tampa Bay. So that's actually not a part of this conversation at all, really.
Yeah.
I was asked the question. Yeah, I was going to say I was just answering the question. Would I rather follow a team that is a first round exit every single year and doesn't have the same roster from year to year? My answer to that question is no. There's no culture of baseball in places like Oakland. Yeah,
go out in the first round.
Get to the playoffs. Whatever happens from there, again, you know, this is baseball. Anything is possible.
Okay, and I can't buy a jersey, and I can't, you know, I get it. Different things matter to different people in baseball, and we're allowed to decide what matters to us. And I think a lot of people have decided that the Colorado Rockies shouldn't care about their superstar players because that's what keeps them from winning the World Series, as though the Oakland A's have won the World Series. Does it, keeping the superstar players keep them from getting into the postseason? There's a debate there. I don't think that it's necessarily the thing that does. It depends on how you mash up your roster. But in my estimation, no. I would much rather be a fan of a team over the last 20 years where I can have my Larry Walker and my Todd Helton and my Carlos Gonzalez and my Nolan Arenado jerseys than being a fan of the Oakland A's. Whose jersey do I have? And am I really super stoked that we're out in the first round? I was a Nuggets fan for years. Was I allowed to be excited about being a first round exit every year?
That's not a fair comparison.
I know because everybody gets in. It is different.
It's two different types of fans. And I think, Drew, you absolutely have the right. I totally respect that. It's like you want that safety and that comfort, and success does come with that. But other people just want the success.
Some people only want the wins, baby, no matter what.
You want
that's right. I'm curious about this perspective because you say for the Oakland A's it's not worth it, but what about Tampa Bay? They've made multiple World Series. They haven't won one, but they've been multiple times. Is that worth it for how they run their business?
I would 1,000 times over rather be a Colorado Rockies fan than a Tampa Bay Rays fan who play in a garbage arena, who get rid of their players all the time, who don't have a culture of baseball, who have no history to celebrate, nothing to hang their hat on. Who comes back to Tampa Bay Legends Day?
Their Legends Day would be great, but you're right. The fans wouldn't really get
friends. Who cares? Right. And it's like, you know, if they do win the big one, even that'll be like funky and weird, and it'll just be like, cool, the team that played the blackjack game better than everybody else, that has no culture of baseball. It's baseball. It's not all sports.
Why are you the arbiter of their culture, though? How do they have a superior culture than the Rockies?
It's just for me personally.
What's the Rockies culture?
It's like Rockies culture is the Blake Street Bombers and Coors Field and the pitcher and Jeff Cook and Aaron Francis and Jorge.
You got this backwards.
Hold on.
Jeff Cook and Aaron Francis.
Waldo Holberg, Scotty
I'm just saying they had John Ottavino and her men. Yeah,
This needs to be a game.
No, I'm like
the Rockies are Todd Helton. They're Cargo. They're Tulo. That and look,
and they're also the
and a lot of people
West, right
and that's. And people hate that, and that's fine. And Chris is saying the Rockies are a culture of losing, and I understand a lot of people feel that way, and that's fine. Sure. I mean, any more than a lot of other teams in the history of baseball?
But to be realistic, like you can romanticize Coors Field all you want. The Blake Street Bombers, dude, we were kids when that happened. Kids! Uh-huh. And then we literally went through Todd and the Toddlers.
Yeah, like a team went to the World Series, and then they were right back in the postseason 2 years after that, and they should have been right back in the postseason after that.
Yeah, but because you're who you are with the Rockies, you know that. That's not culture. That's
yes, it is. Yes, it is. It absolutely no. No, I will not let you.
100% culture.
Come on,
that is absolutely culture. That is what. That is more widely known. That is still what the Rockies are known for, more than anything else.
That's not even true. That's not even true. Right now, they're known for Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, and Charlie Blackmon. That's what they're known for.
They're the organization that has star players and no success. And that's the culture you're okay with?
That's not how I would frame the culture, but sure. If you want me to put it that way, yeah, that's the culture I'm okay with. Yes, I'm okay with it. Rockies fans, you hear me? Yes, that is the culture I'm okay with. That is what we have. There are a lot of other teams out there who have not won. The Pittsburgh Pirates went in my lifetime over 15 years without a winning season. The Philadelphia Phillies went 20 years without appearing in the postseason. These teams, the Baltimore Orioles, the Kansas City Royals, whatever it is, there are a lot of teams out there that don't. Congratulations. The Rockies will win a World Series in my lifetime, and the culture that has been there the entire time will be a huge part of what makes that special. I'm not going to deny the culture in the meantime from now until that point and say, well, it doesn't really matter. This is all crap. And actually, Jorge De La Rosa wasn't really any good, and Yubaldo Jimenez was only good for one season. Garbage. All of it garbage. Carlos Gonzalez, Troy Tulowitzki, that's actual culture. Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, yes, those guys are culture. The fact that the Colorado Rockies have the best rotation they've ever had in their history right now, and it was all built through internal young player development, drafting and developing of these young men who to come up and deal with this impossible situation better than anybody has ever dealt with it, including John Gray and Scott Oberg, that is culture, my friends. And they have to
get culture.
And that stuff is culture.
Those and other so, guys and are players.
The Blake Street Bombers is culture. Todd and the Toddlers is culture.
Yeah.
Todd and the
Going to the World Series in 07 was culture. Is all of culture this stuff combined. It's all of these things combined to create a legitimate Colorado Rockies culture that there are plenty of teams in baseball who are just as bad, if not worse than the Colorado Rockies, that they do not have.
You had something here, AJ, talking about culture. Are they parts of the culture? Is that one whole?
Yeah, I mean, this would be a whole other podcast that we could do just on what culture is and how you define it and how we're all a result of that. I think the 2007 World Series was a result of the culture. The back-to-back postseason appearances that they just had was a result of a certain culture. What was it? It was draft, develop, and get it done at a high level. And I think that those happening a decade apart goes to show you, okay, what worked? What worked and what didn't? That should be the culture that you try to reinforce. Why does everybody in the world love the St. Louis Cardinals and have all the respect in the world for what they do? Because they built a specific culture, a culture with certain expectations, certain demands, and they live up to it. They don't hope for things to happen for them. They don't hope for good stuff to fall out of the sky and land on them. They create it through a consistent culture. And I think that's where, as a lifelong Rockies fan, I have been frustrated by the organization, is that I don't believe they fostered that level of a culture, one that I trust in and can buy into and be a part of. Blake Street Bombers was a ton of fun. It's the exact kind of thing that makes lifelong baseball fans out of kids like us. And the, you know, The 2007 World Series team is one that we're all going to remember forever. Kyle Freeland against the Cubs is something that we're all going to remember forever. Those are all touchstone moments in Rockies history, and they're a result of specific culture. And I think that where I'm worried about current Rockies malaise, I guess, kind of the fog around the organization right now, is that they kind of lack some of that. They lack that identity. They lack that culture. And that's what concerns me. When I say the Rays and the A's and all that, look, they have accepted life without star players sticking around. And they've made the most of that because they say, this is who we are. This is how we're going to operate. We're going to win some. We're going to lose some. But as long as we're winning more than we're losing, we're okay with that. And I think the Rockies are on the other side of that. And I think that bothers me.
I think the key word that you said that might kind of, you know, not level the playing field, but be the kind of the indicator of what the Rockies are not doing and maybe what these other teams are doing, as you said, is that consistency. And so while teams might have to, you know, trade away their top players, like a Tampa Bay, there's consistency in it where they say, okay, once a guy gets to a certain threshold, we know we got to trade him to get younger guys. And it's this cycle, which is painful for fans. And Tampa has never had any fans to begin with.
But if I was going to say, Tampa didn't have any fans. Oakland didn't have that many fans either.
If they did have, they'd be pissed. Not just because Blake Snell.
And this is part of the reason why,
Charlie
though.
Morton. But
it,
they are successful.
It absolutely is. And they that's win. Like.
They do win, but this is part of the reason why they don't have any fans. It's not just the bad arenas.
Front office in Colorado, you have an ideal situation, right? Because you have a team that can spend, 100%. A team that can spend enough to keep the stars that the really creative and awesome front office goes out and gets and develops and all of that stuff. And then you would also have the jewel that is Coors Field. But the problem is that your stadium cannot be the best part about your organization. It can't.
Yeah. You know, Drew wrote a fantastic article.
I mean, a Hall
article.
Of Famer plays third base. That's pretty cool.
But Drew, hold on. Wrote a really good article about that. You wrote a really good article about that. I like how AJ said, hey, why don't they just go out, get all the best front office people in Tampa Bay's front office, say, hey, look, we're going to pay you this much more. We'll give you a raise. Why hasn't that happened for Colorado? Go back and read Drew's article. Jeff Breidich does not run this team. He makes certain decisions. He does say, hey, here are some great options I have. He can't just do that. Go ahead, AJ, I'm sorry. Do I hear something in my headphones? What?
That's culture.
Yeah, well, and that's what I've written about a lot lately and over the years. And the one place where I do come back and remind Rockies fans that it is about the owner. The owner is the one who sets all. And it's nice to believe that if they just brought in the Rays GM team, they'd run things like the Rays. But if the owner is still overruling that, look, Jeff Breidich is an analytic mind. I know people don't believe that, but it doesn't matter what people believe. It's
they might
true.
Call him other things, but analytic mind is one of those things.
And that's one of the many things Jeff Breidich has been called on my mentions lately.
You can put that on his Tinder profile. Things I've been called.
Things I've been called.
It's a long list.
Jeff Breidich thinks in terms of dollar per war, war per position, war per batting out, or war per at bat, war per game played in. Particularly adjusted to Coors Field. They've got their own. I promise you this, Jeff Breidich has his own internal metrics about ERA plus and WRC plus and all these other things. So yeah, if you don't sign that, because as I've long believed and said to Patrick many times that it's nice to think, we'll just run things like the A's and the Rays and don't get so attached to this superstar player problem. But there's one other thing on top of that you've got to consider, because it's not just the superstar players. It's guys who are new to Coors Field, and not just Coors Field, but Coors Field and the Coors Field hangover effect and the throwing at the dartboard, not just for pitchers. Look at Marco Scudero or Ian Desmond or Daniel Murphy or whomever, and their hitting numbers before they came to Coors Field and what they did here. Some guys can hack it here, some can't. And maybe the A's and Rays thing of just constantly churn the roster over could work here. We don't know because we've never seen it tried, right? Maybe it could.
Should they?
I have a hard time believing.
Maybe get back to that. Get back to that. If they should or not, but continue with your point.
Because the point for me has always been like it seems it's at the very least counterintuitive to me because so many guys who come in here from elsewhere go, oh damn, this and it does take a special cat. And I think, you know, look at John Gray and Germán Márquez and Kyle Freeland and Antonio Senzatella. Look at Scott Oberg and him coming up through the organization and then the couple of years it took him to figure it out. And then he became the second best reliever in baseball. It's hard to get used to that pitching in one place and then on the road, hitting in one place and then going on the road. And to bring a guy in for a year because the rest of the league is undervaluing him and use him as a utility guy who plays twice a week, the way the Rays do with all these kinds of guys. And I don't know that it works here. So on the one hand, you might be right that the Rockies, if they didn't play here, could do that. That their ownership and their players and all these other things could work out. But for me, it's just like they're stuck having to keep their star players that they have. They want to keep them, but they're also stuck having to build a team around star players because those – between guy making $3 million and guy making $20 million, you want to sign the – we were talking about Kevin Kiermaier the other day, right? You want to get $11 million Kevin Kiermaier in here? You better trade for him because you're not signing him. Not to come here where the altitude is hell on your body and you've got to deal with the home and away effect and now you can't hit on the road. You will put up the worst road hitting numbers of your career here or the worst home pitching numbers of your career here. Everybody knows it now. The secret's out. So I don't know that they can be that team that wheels and deals all the time. I could be wrong about this. This is one because we've never seen it.
Right.
This is 100% theory.
That's what, you know, it makes a lot of sense. If you go, you know, odds would suggest that somebody that they brought in free agency or something like that would stick and would be able to adapt to altitude. And maybe some guys have. I can name one. There's been a handful of guys coming from other organizations who do that. But I think there's this idea, for me at least, going, well, you know, they keep doing the same thing over and over again or slight deviations of. And again, they're doing some new things now. And we know kind of how they've approached this young starting rotation has been successful. And yeah, okay, 2019 and 2020, not very good. Again, one of the worst 10 in baseball. But they still have those core starting pitchers, and you go.
The rotation was still good. Yeah,
the rotation was still good. So they have figured that out, but you know, it hasn't been working. And just because we haven't seen something else doesn't mean it might not necessarily work. It just feels like insanity doing the same thing in many ways over and over again and expecting different results. And they haven't quite gotten that. They haven't quite figured that out. And I think that's essentially the
and I just don't think we've been in that. I just don't. And that's where I think our biggest disagreement comes is I just don't think they've been in that element of trying the same thing for long enough for that to apply. Right. Because in my estimation, because they've been we've talked about this. Right. They've made fewer transactions than anybody else in baseball since Jeff Breidich took over. Right. But before that was not the case. Dylan Dan was making moves all the damn time. AJ's old enough to remember
that. I remember that like five-way deal that they made.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Like there was a time and maybe that was more fun, you know, but in my estimation. So, again, if. And I understand why people roll their eyes, but hang with me for just a second. If the Colorado Rockies, instead of winning 84 games, as you put it, Patrick, next year, win 87 games, and they get that second wild card spot, and they do go up against the Padres, and hey, it's one game, so they knock them off, and so they end up playing in the NLDS again. Well, then Jeff Breidich will have made the postseason, and this team under this particular, you know, run prevention first and this basic iteration of it will have now made the postseason three times. And that's way more than Dan O'Dowd ever did when he was dealing around and doing all this wild stuff and all that stuff. But if it goes the other way, that's why Will's question – or no, Daniel's question about the hot seats was so great. Because for me, I really am on that precipice. It may seem like I'm out here telling you, team's going to be great. They're going to be awesome. They're going to the postseason next year. It's like, I think there's a chance. I do think they can turn this thing around. I think the window is open, and I think somebody's got to put their hand in that thing and jar it the F open by making more trades, more moves, whatever. I think it's open and it's there. And if I'm wrong, and I may be, it has to go the other way. But it's there.
My last comment that I'll have on this, since this has gotten we've been all over the map on this.
Right.
Just from personal experiences, this feels a lot like the end of the Matt Duchene era Avs, where they have a couple of star players, but they lack some direction, and it's gotten to be kind of a toxic environment, and you don't totally know what to do to fix it. You've got some star talent that you believe in, some top young guys that you really believe in, but you aren't 100% sure how to put it all together. I don't know if Jeff Breidich is the guy or not. We didn't know that Joe Sakic was the guy. Certainly the beginning of his tenure as Avs GM, his very first year.
I was going to say, there's an interesting analogy here. Yeah.
He won a division title and then missed the postseason for the next 3 years and bottomed out with what was the worst team in modern history until delightfully last year's Detroit Red Wings were even worse. And then now you survey anybody in hockey and you ask him who's the best GM, and Joe Sakic is the top three answer unanimously. He would not be outside of the top three for a single person that has any idea of what they're talking about in the NHL. And is that where this goes with Jeff Breidich, or does this go the other way where he's totally. Do you remember that one time when kind of guy? But they're
what was the Duchene deal? Right, what was when he was traded, right?
Yeah.
They moved and
for a bunch of young, really good prospects that
I was going to say.
They moved him in a three-way deal where they got seven pieces from two teams.
And was that instrumental in the turnaround, or was it just a thing?
It kickstarted the entire thing.
It is the
move that started the current era of the Avs. It's the one thing that when I write a book about when they win a Stanley Cup this year, it's going to be the moment that that deal happened, the entire organization changed.
So if hockey is anything like baseball, that means trade Nolan Arenado? Is that what that means?
I think it does.
I'm just saying. It feels comparable.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that that's the only way out. That's right. Just how the Avs found their way out. Because before, the only reason I'm hammering away that I am like I am at culture is because I've lived this. I've lived this exact right. There is no culture. There is no direction. What the hell is going on with this franchise? I've lived this before. Now I'm on the other side of it, getting to cover a team that's figured it all out and can do no wrong. So
I don't know about you, Drew. I think AJ needs to be the next GM of the Rockets.
I was going
to
say, I think he solved it.
He knows. Yeah. I'm in. I'm team AJ. Let's go.
Dick I think so.
Monfort at
you guys Rockies. Would not be thrilled with how I started that.
Haefele is spelled HAEFELE. Yeah. When you send your emails to Dick Monfort, he is responding.
AJ@thednbr.com. So that's where you can hit me up. Dick Rockies GM offer.
I think maybe if AJ breaks any news about a Rockies New Jersey with a Stadium Series logo on it or something, this could be a perfect crossover for you. Gentlemen, I love talking with you. This will not get old. This is a good back and forth. We might not agree, but we do agree for our passion for baseball and for the Colorado Rockies. And for that, I could not throw any shade your guys' way. I love talking with you guys.
This was not the expectation for today's show, but it ended up being a great conversation.
So to get back to the question,
I said, do you want to come on and talk hot stove? Would you like to come on and fight with me about the current state of the Rockies?
So to get back to the question 60 minutes ago.
So the Lindor trade, what was your final take?
So the Mets trade of Lindor was fantastic.
As we said.
So now Mets and Atlanta are going to be, first place in a wild card, Padres and Dodgers, first place in wild card. Oh, no, wait, we're back here again with the Rockies. Forget I said it.
Fantastic stuff. All right, well. Totally. And as we've said before, these are the kinds of conversations that actually do go on inside of front offices and stuff. Hopefully they do it with a little more, information than we did today. But still, you got to
I don't know.
You got to have those back and forths with the people that, you disagree with but respect. Otherwise, your organization isn't getting any better in any organization, really. So I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us through this one today. Let us know your thoughts on, I guess, the hot stove, but also the Colorado Rockies and their current state of culture. I guess we're going with that. Make sure you check out the DFA show where we had D-Line Eric Wiedem. You say the whole thing together. He was making sure to break down people's faces for you. You can't miss Eric Wiedem breaking down people's faces. It really was one of the stranger moments in the history of the podcast. So you've got to check that one out. You got to make sure you're following everybody on social media at Patrick D Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at AJ Haefeli. You got to follow at DNVR Avalanche because you know they're getting ready to kick their season off. They're going to have a lot of fun out there. We're going to also try to have fun at DNVR_Rockies, though it'll be slightly different in nature, I would assume. Either way, we're having a great time here at the DNVR family. So make sure you're subscribed. You get discounts on hats and shirts and masks. You get a bigger beer when you come back down to the newly reopened DNVR bar, which is just for a few events right now, 25% capacity, but still check on the website, see if they're open, go down and get one of yours, get a draft beer of Breck Brew. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it. And when you subscribe, you get to hang out with us in the Discord and talk about music or video games or pro wrestling or skiing and snowboarding or whatever you want, man. We're a big happy family here at DNVR. We appreciate having you all around. We absolutely love that you will continue to be absolutely awesome. You know we'll continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons, Drew Kreisman, and AJ Haefeli. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.